This week's episode of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago Football Podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. And for the month of April, Loot Crate is soliciting some of our favorite mystery solvers. So you're going to get items from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, and Marvel's Jessica Jones. One lucky subscriber this month will also win a mega crate with signed copies of Jessica Jones Alias Volumes 1 through 4. And you can get $3 off that first crate if you subscribe now using our promo code Shaw. Really great stuff every month, so go ahead and subscribe now. We're back from a little bit of a break. Time to preview the NFL draft. Let's talk some Bears. Hello, everybody. Kevin Fishbane back with you for the Pro Football Weekly Chicago Football Podcast. Thanks for bearing with us. We took a couple weeks off, but we are in the month of April. It is kind of springtime, at least. It's supposed to be spring-like weather this weekend, and we get to start talking about the NFL draft. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Follow all of our Bears coverage at Bears_Insider. And, of course, online at ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears. Joined by my producer this week, Dan Mott. And we're going to talk in a few minutes with Robert Mays of The Ringer, previewing the draft for the Bears and some of the options they could take a look at with the number 3 pick. So what has happened since we last joined you? We introduced you to the new Bears, and they've actually added a few extra ones. So I'm on vacation a couple weeks ago. I was in California, and I tried to ignore my phone a little bit. My girlfriend will tell you that I did a terrible job of doing that, but periodically I'd peek in and see what was up. And one day, my entire feed was filled with Mark Sanchez tweets. And that's what I missed while I was gone. And I'm glad to have missed that. It's amazing how much attention Mark Sanchez got. I know it was a slow time in the football world. And he is a quarterback. He played in New York. He's a very popular name. But this is a guy who at best, will be the Bears' number 2 quarterback, who would only play if Mike Glennon got hurt. So I was a little amused by how much attention the Mark Sanchez signing got. I don't know why people got mad about it. I don't know why people got excited about it. It just is what it is. He's a capable quarterback. He's been in 2 AFC championship games. Granted, it feels like they were a long time ago. But let's see if he makes a team first before we get all up in arms about Mark Sanchez. A couple other remedial signings. Benny Cunningham will factor in the kickoff return competition with Deontay Thompson, who got re-signed. And then B.W. Webb is the latest player to join the Bears' long list of cornerbacks with starter experience. B.W. Webb played pretty well for the Saints last year, but the guy's been on 4 teams in 4 years, which is generally not great. So he's going to be fighting for a roster spot, and you know, maybe he can make an impact on special teams. But when you think about the corner position, you should be thinking more about the other guys the Bears signed, which are Marcus Cooper, Prince Amukamara. We'll get more into the cornerback position in our interview in just a little bit. Not clear any connection between B.W. Webb and former Bear R.W. McCorders. Somebody brought that up to me as a potential connection. Don't know it, just they have similar first names. So let's hop to it. We are 3 weeks from the NFL draft. So many options for the Bears throughout the draft. When will they draft a quarterback? Who will they take at number 3? Will they trade up? Will they trade down? Lots of things for Ryan Pace. Is a very, very important. Every draft's important, but this one is very important for Ryan Pace and John Fox to get impact players, because they believe that they could be certainly much more competitive than last year with a couple good impact players from this class. So to take a closer look at what the Bears could do, should do in the NFL draft, let's talk with Robert Mays of The Ringer. We're joined now on the podcast by Robert Mays. He's a staff writer at The Ringer. You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Mays. He also hosts the Ringer NFL show, friend of the program, second time on. Robert, and I'll, before we get into the NFL draft, I'm going to ask you this as a Chicago guy. Would you rather be a Bulls fan or a Bears fan right now?
Oh, Bears.
Bears.
Yeah, I mean, there's at least a plan in place for the Bears. Whether you like it or not is an entirely different conversation. You could probably go either way. I know most people could. But with the Bulls, it's hard to even comprehend what possible direction they may be heading in the next year or two. I mean, with the Bears, at least, like, oh, okay, the front seven's got some pieces. And I really kind of like the offensive line, and Jordan Howard had a great season. You can start piecing that stuff together. With the Bulls, it's, oh, Jimmy Butler's good. And that's where it ends. That's where it all ends. So, yeah, I'd much rather follow the Bears side at this point.
I don't know, Robert. I flipped on some talk radio the other day, and I heard some old school Bulls fans calling in, and they love just making the playoffs every year. They seem satisfied.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great, right? That's definitely the bar we should be trying to clear every season, is just sneaking into the 8 seed. It's not a proud franchise whatsoever.
No. I mean, the Bears have been bad, but they're not in basketball hell like the Bulls are. The Bears are rebuilding. So we get to the fact, what's coming up with the draft, the number 3 pick. I think everyone's kind of on the same page. The Bears are probably not going to take quarterback number 3. But I'm curious what you think they should do at the quarterback position of the draft versus maybe what you think they will do based on kind of what you've seen from Ryan Pace, if those are different things.
It depends on how these quarterbacks end up shaking out. I'm starting to lean more and more, and this is probably a recency bias thing, but I think that the Raiders managed to turn around their franchise as quickly as they did, in part because of the way they attacked that draft with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. And getting Mack in the top 5 and then being able to swing back around in the second and get Carr there, I mean, that's the best thing you could possibly do. To get a super impact player, a game changer in the top 5, which top 5 players are supposed to be, and a quarterback that can actually be a pillar of your franchise later in the draft. And what we've seen in league history is that just doesn't happen. You know, we don't have that many quarterbacks that go after the first round, and even after the top 5, really. I mean, that's when you typically have to get one. But in the last 5, 6, 7 years, that's changed a little bit. You think about Russell Wilson. Derek Carr is another example. Look what Dak Prescott did. Even a guy like Andy Dalton, who isn't a superstar by any stretch, but Andy Dalton's a pretty decent quarterback, and he's a guy they got at the top of the second round. So when you're looking at what Chicago has now, you have the 3rd pick, and then you got the same pick in the 2nd. So if you can go get, name your defensive player, you know, I don't know, if it's Marshawn Lattimore, whoever you think is the real game-changing player of that group, and then if you can grab whatever quarterback doesn't go in the 1st and the 2nd, whether it is Mitch Trubisky, whether it is if Deshaun Watson falls, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was the number 1 pick for most of the lead-up to all of this during the draft process. He ended up falling to the 2nd round. So this happens. So ideally, I think that would be the perfect scenario. If you get a guy you like at the top of the 2nd and a game-changing defensive player at 3. But who knows? That, you know, a lot of things have to fall that way.
Yeah, and I wonder if, and obviously the Jets don't think Josh McCown's their long-term starter, and the 49ers don't think Brian Hoyer's their long-term starter. But I wonder if some of these kind of patchwork moves that some of the other teams have made at quarterback are going to drop those guys down, where we could see something similar to 2013, where E.J. Manuel was the only one to go in the first round. But then you have those things with the Texans and Chiefs. I mean, it could get crazy when you get to the 20s if you look at the way the draft could shake out at quarterback.
And you look at, especially the 49ers come to mind, John Lynch is a 6-year contract. So is Kyle Shanahan. They ain't in a hurry. And they don't need to go make a big splash at quarterback. They're going to have some time to build that team. They don't like any of those guys. They don't have to take one. Cleveland has said as much. I remember at the Combine, somebody asked Sashi Brown, would you be comfortable rolling with your quarterbacks you had last year? He's like, yeah. I mean, they're on a multi-year plan, which is good for the Bears if you do want to grab one of those guys late. I feel like the team that has the most urgency at quarterback is probably the team you mentioned. It's probably Houston. I mean, the fact that they traded Osweiler, which is a good move, I think you do that 10 times out of 10, even giving up the pick. The specter of awfulness that came with him is worth getting out of. But now you need an answer. And if one of those guys is there at 25, I don't understand how you don't go try to get him.
You mentioned some of those potential defensive playmakers, so let's get into them in terms of number 3. Solomon Thomas, Jonathan Allen, if you're looking at D-line, front 7 guys, you know, if we're assuming Myles Garrett goes 1, one of those 2 guys will be there at 3. Do you like the idea? Maybe not. Well, I want to know what you think of those guys specifically, but also just the idea of taking somebody that would start opposite Akeem Hicks, that would be somebody that Vic Fangio can move around in that front seven, as opposed to the defensive backs we'll get to in a minute.
I feel like if you look at the actual depth chart, you need a defensive back. I mean, you just need a corner. They have some Band-Aids there. You sign a Mukamura, you sign Marcus Cooper, fine. You know, those are guys who play in the NFL. That is those are their credentials. That's better than what they had last year, so I understand why you make those moves. But if for long-term answers, you have far less of them in the secondary than you do in the front seven, especially at corner. So if you, in terms of need, that's what you do. But if you really like Solomon Thomas, if you think that he is a game-changing player, if you think he can just take over in the way that other interior/exterior defensive linemen can, then I don't mind taking him there. Because then you think about it, you have Floyd and McPhee on the edge, McPhee on the inside if you need him to be in pass rush situations, plus Thomas, plus Hicks, plus Goldman. I mean, that gets really exciting really fast. So if those guys stay healthy and you add another just wrecker in there, I feel like the strength of that unit can buoy a secondary that doesn't necessarily have the horses that you want.
You know, sometimes, Robert, when I've responded to fans or I'm asked questions about the way this team's going to draft on defense, I try to, you know, look glass half full and I say, look, I think you can trust the way Ryan Pace scouts. I think you can trust Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell when they look at defensive backs, or Vic Fangio when they look at defensive players. Does the record the past two seasons at all change that kind of philosophy, that maybe fans should at least put some trust in the guys that they have in place? I mean, these aren't nobodies who are going to have a say in some of these selections when you look at the defensive side of the ball.
I think the record has absolutely no bearing on it. And you look at the record last year, it's misleading. They played a lot of close games. The injuries in the front seven are just mind-boggling, plus suspensions. I mean, you lose Freeman for a huge chunk. You lose Trevathan for a huge chunk. McPhee barely played last year. Floyd's a rookie. I really like what they've done on that side of the ball. And if you look at some of the bit more advanced numbers, they're pretty much like a middle-of-the-road defense last year with all those injuries. I think they were probably, I can't remember the exact number, but right around 20 or so in DVOA. That's not bad when you consider how banged up they were. So if you're trying to project forward with, you added a couple pieces, you're going to be healthier just probably by sheer chance, I really like what they have going on that side of the ball. I mean, this is a team that it's never going to matter until they figure out who the quarterback is, but there are elements of what they're doing that are exciting, and I think a lot of them rest with Vic Fangio on that side.
And you mentioned that excitement in some of the front seven guys and the need at defensive back. You look at the top safeties, Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker. I watch Sean Spicer sometimes. And he allows two-part questions, so I'm going to ask a two-part question. do you prefer one of those? And do you have a problem with the Bears taking a safety at number three, which is kind of unheard of?
No. I mean, if they think he's the guy, if they think that's the player that can make the most impact, I don't have a problem with them doing it. Like, Eric Berry went that high. You know, you think they're that kind of player, the Chiefs don't seem to be upset with having Eric Berry on their team. So I don't have a preference for one of them yet. I'm doing a series on my show where we're breaking down each position, and I haven't gotten to the defensive backs yet. So that's one of the spots where I haven't really dug into them as much as I have to. I mean, everything I hear about Hooker, just in terms of making plays and really just having an impact on the game from that position, that's what I need there. You know, Earl Thomas, I believe, won 11. And so if you can have a guy that in the first round, in the first half of the first round, you need him to be that sort of player. And that's everything I've heard about Hooker he supposedly is. So if you think that and you want to take him, go nuts. You know, I don't think the position should dictate where you take certain guys. Do I think you take a fullback in the first round? Probably not. But when it comes to defensive players, I think there are exceptions.
I will say, and I also have not watched Hooker or Adams very much and plan on doing it this week, but got a chance to talk to Greg Schiano, and just you read the Sky reports on Malik Hooker, and you read everything, and you agree. You say, wow, center fielder. But I wonder, and you hope this doesn't happen, Robert, but I wonder if it goes through Ryan Pace's head, can I take somebody that has a medical history like Malik Hooker? Can I do that? Even if I think he's going to be a star, am I worried about that? Is that something that should or you think would go through Ryan Pace's head? Almost more of a PR thing than an actual player evaluation thing because of what happened with Kevin White.
I mean, you hear everything about the way that teams talk about this exact issue, and they say, we listen to our doctors. We listen to our doctors. That's what they say, and that's what you should do. It shouldn't be a, well, this is a PR issue or whatever. If you trust your doctor and you think that that guy, and what that guy is telling you is, this is somebody who's not going to continue to get hurt. This is, these are isolated incidents or whatever. Then I think you do it. I don't think you worry about the PR hit. Ryan Pace is not coaching for, is not putting this team together for PR sake, for aesthetics. Like, this is a get it done or probably get run out of town sort of situation. So he needs the best players available. I'm not sure he needs to care about what everybody says about whoever he picks.
So you talked earlier about cornerback, and I tweeted this morning, so we're taping this on Thursday, the list of the Bears corners. And I want you to listen to this list. And how could you think they need a corner? B.W. Webb, Marcus Cooper, Prince Amukamara, Tracy Porter, Kyle Fuller, Cravon LeBlanc, Bryce Callahan, Jonathan Banks, DeAndre Hall with an asterisk because they're going to try him at safety. Those are guys with starter potential, Maze. I mean, how could you think they need a corner?
I would sit there and listen to a real argument about Cravon LeBlanc being the best player of that group. I would sit there and listen to someone make that argument. And I would do it without any preconceived notions. I would let them finish because I honestly think there is one to be made.
And the funny thing about Bears fans, and you know this, is I tweeted that list out and immediately got people saying that I forgot Devontae Bosby, Jacoby Glenn, and something named Rashad Reynolds.
The idea that the Bears did well by not overpaying for Stephon Gilmore or AJ Bouye is just like, what? No, they missed. They wanted them desperately. They missed. They needed them. In fact, Prince Amukamara is the worst consolation prize of all time, but he is a necessary one. You needed NFL players at those spots. And that's what free agency is for. It's to instantly make minor but important upgrades. It's to get better. I wrote about this, that Amukamara is one of the bigger upgrades that they could possibly have gotten in terms of like the entire NFL position-wise because they didn't have NFL cornerbacks last year. So I mean, that's how bad they were last season, to the point where throwing out Amukamara and Cooper, it's like, oh, good. They got some actual players there now. Not players you're excited about, but actual guys that have played in the league before.
And I think, too,
I'm not frustrated at all.
I think, too, you know, when you look at the way Ryan Pace and especially John Fox have handled the franchise, there's two ways. You know, first, I'm looking at these guys' salaries. I think Marcus Cooper's making starters money, not big time starters money, but so is Amukamara. They're making more than Tracy Porter. You think, and you can let yourself, you can let that talk you out of a Marshon Lattimore. But then this is John Fox. These are guys who have cut and traded players. They don't care. That stuff doesn't bother them. They're going to play the best players. So I think that is reassuring when you hear them say best player available. You know, I don't necessarily think that, as you said, taking some of these corners that they have in free agency should prevent them from taking, whether it's Lattimore in the first round or somebody high in the second round.
I mean, not at all. They're making starter money, but they're making starter money for 1 year.
Yeah,
these are 1 year contracts. That doesn't preclude you whatsoever from taking a guy if you think he's the best player available at that position. They're pretty much wide open. The only spot I would be surprised if they took it really high is a guy on the edge. Solely because you took Floyd last year, you have McPhee, you know, even Lamar Houston's still on the roster. So, I mean, he's still a player. So you still have guys there. There's enough of a log jam plus the resources you spent at that position recently. Outside of that, anything else would not surprise me. You know, I think Adrian Amos is a decent player, but these are the type of decisions they have to start making. It's like, okay, we have a decent player. Like, maybe we need good players. Maybe we need really good players. So I don't think anything else is off the table. And linebacker, obviously. I mean, you spent a ton of money there. Those aren't one-year contracts. So really, linebacker and edge are the only two things I would say. It would surprise me if they went with a guy this high.
So for anybody who reads Robert Maze or listens to him on the Ringer podcast, you would know that he's a big fan of the offensive line. So I know you are a fan of what the Bears have done with the interior, but what do you think about the tackle position and maybe what type of need is there on both sides?
That's a position that if they grab, depending on what they do at quarterback, you know, if they don't think they want a quarterback in this draft, they can roll with Glennon and they go at it later and not in the first two rounds. I could see them going with a tackle high in the second round. That's where a lot of those guys are settling. If you look at where they're valued now, again, how much that matters come draft time, we often don't know. But if they went with one of those tackles in the second round and put them on the right side, I wouldn't be upset about that. Again, they paid Bobby Massey in free agency, but that's not an onerous contract, especially when you look at the right tackle market now and the fact that most of the guarantees came in that first year and then in this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that at all. I think you could upgrade at left tackle as well. I mean, both of those guys aren't long-term answers in my mind. I think Leno's fine. I think Massey's bad last year, but has had decent seasons in the league. I just don't want them to move Kyle Long back out there. It's the only thing I don't want them to do is the idea of, oh, we'll slide somebody else in, Kyle play right tackle, we'll draft a left tackle. That would drive me insane. The guy's one of the best guards in the league. He works at that. He's really honed himself as one of them. Continuing to jerk him around like they have, nothing else could infuriate me more.
And I think they can admit that too. And I don't, you know, without getting too much into technique, I imagine the shoulder situation, maybe it benefits Kyle Long even more to be at guard, more in a phone booth with what, I mean, again, something he can play through. But yeah, that would be stunning if they did that again. And I think they kind of know that that was, I hope they know that was a mistake when they did that. But I was thinking back when you were talking earlier about the kind of, not necessarily that they were close to a playoff team last year, but the 3-13 is misleading. I think back to that ill-fated shovel pass that ended Kyle Long's season and how much the season completely turned on a dime there in Tampa. Again, not saying they were going to make a run at the wild card, but there's something there. So just two more quick ones for you, Mays, and I'll let you go. Mike Glennon, where are you at mentally with the grasping the idea of Mike Glennon as a starting quarterback for Chicago Bears?
I've come to terms with it. I mean, it's just one of those things where you go through the five stages of grief very quickly. I get it. And I wrote about this the day that it happened. In my ideal world, you sign Brian Hoyer to the Brian Hoyer contract he got in San Francisco. You know, it's very small. It makes total sense as a bridge quarterback. You draft one, and that's how you present this is the future. But if the draft doesn't fall a certain way, you don't want to get one of those guys. You don't want to be pushed into it. Having Glennon is a way to look at your ownership, look at your fan base, and say, to a certain extent, we are not running in place. Because Brian Hoyer is the very definition of running in place at quarterback. And that's what he is. There is no more known quantity than Brian Hoyer. You can at least sell to your fan base that there is an unknown ceiling to Mike Glennon that we have not realized yet. And that's what you have to do. Mike Glennon is a temporary option, but he is a temporary option with upside where Brian Hoyer was not. And that's, I get why that decision was made. Am I excited about it? No, no one's excited about it. No one's happy that this is what had to happen. But when you don't have one of the quarterbacks, this is the type of stuff that has to go on.
Yeah. You got to take your chances, and they're taking their chances, with Mike Glennon. And we'll wrap up with this. What are you going to miss most about Jay Cutler?
I mean, there's one or two throws every year that just make me jump out of my chair. I mean, he's immensely talented. And that is, I'm going to miss that. Just the lingering awesomeness that was always there at one point or another. I'm also just going to miss the unfettered apathy. I mean, it was really fun to watch him care less about that than any human has ever cared about anything. It was amazing. I mean, it was a feat of humanity, more or less. And not having that in my life anymore is just kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. I think that was encapsulated by the couple times they ran a wildcat and Jay would be split out wide, but he'd just be standing there. He wasn't even in like a set or anything. And I remember I asked Zach Miller about it once and he goes, yeah, he just kind of stands out there like he doesn't care. And then Miller actually went into the Jay Cutler don't care meme himself. So they're pretty self-aware of it.
Retired Jay Cutler is going to be a fascinating entity. I mean, what we have is incredible. I mean, the fact that we have, you know, a very Instagram happy wife when they're just doing tropical island things, which that's what I would do too if I were Jay Cutler right now. It's going to be great. I mean, the possibilities are actually endless.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and I think that I know that CBS is excited about having Tony Romo in the booth. I wouldn't have cared if Jay Cutler wanted to get in the booth. He will never do it, but that would be fun to have Jay Cutler.
Oh my God, it would be incredible! Jay Cutler calling games.
He's extremely football smart, and if you asked him the right question, he would give you a really good football answer, and he would still not care about your question.
Yeah, so. Of course, absolutely. It would be amazing if somebody asked, if he was working with, I don't know, with like Chris Collins, where he's like, you know, Chris, I just don't care. I just don't care. I may care about like 6 plays from now. I did not care about that one. I'm sorry.
All right, this has been our interview with Robert Mays, Ringer staff writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Mays and listen to him on the Ringer NFL show. Robert, thanks so much for joining us. And I have reached out to your pal Kevin Clark before, and he said he would come on the show as long as he did not have to talk about the Bears. So
that's totally fine. Yeah, he talks about the Bears enough with me, sadly.
Perfect. Well, you catch up with him and talk Orlando Magic with him. And thanks for joining us today.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for time.
Big thank you to Robert Mays, who is certainly an avid follower of the Chicago Bears, and he covers the NFL, does a great job over at The Ringer. And really interesting stuff, the way that he looks at this team, very similar to kind of my philosophy and evaluation of the roster, where things are at, what Ryan Pace should do. And I think to this situation at the number three pick is so interesting, because you're talking about the opportunity to get a game-changing player, to get somebody who could alter your franchise. And that's what the Bears are looking at, whether it's Solomon Thomas, Jonathan Allen, Marshawn Lattimore, Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker. I've narrowed it down to those five guys, you know, just based on mock drafts and scouting reports and seeing the top-ranked guys. If they're going to go defense, I think it's be one of those five guys. So quick plug for you on our website right now, profootballweekly.com/Bears. I took a closer look at Solomon Thomas and Jonathan Allen, watched a few of their games, kind of did a little bit of compare-contrast and how either would fit. And you can see why the Bears would be excited about one of those two players. You throw them up front, as Mays was explaining, that front seven would be ferocious if everyone could stay healthy with Floyd, McPhee, Young, Hicks, Goldman, and then Allen or Thomas. I think Solomon Thomas got a little bit more athleticism. I think Allen might be, you know, a little more powerful at the point, a little more technique sound. Alabama, you always love these guys when they come out of Alabama. And then you don't necessarily have a great list of some of these players that have become studs. I mean, Landon Collins certainly has for New York Giants, but I was going back looking at that 2013 draft. I think a lot of people loved Chance Warmack, the offensive guard, Dean Milner, the corner coming out of Alabama. Those two guys have not worked out so well. How's this for fun? Dan, my producer's here. Dan, we rip on Phil Emery a lot, but I went back and looked at that 2013 draft. Kyle Long was maybe the best pick in that first round. There are only 17 of the 32 picks are still with the teams that drafted them from the 2013 draft, and only five have received a contract extension 4 years later, one of those being Kyle Long. So I think Phil Emery deserves a lot of the flack he gets, but that was a terrible draft, and he made one really good pick.
Yeah, I think, too, that, you know, we like to pick on Phil Emery, and, you know, it's all fun. But, I mean, it's also, these guys were given an opportunity to come in and perform, and, I mean, Emery picked them, and obviously, you know, their stats on paper should have shown that they probably weren't going to be outstanding NFL talent, but I mean, they had an opportunity to come and step up, and they were terrible. And so I think that also should be a factor in this, that people should remember, you know, the guys were given an opportunity as well, and they didn't play. So maybe not all the blame on Emery, but it's fun to put the blame there.
It certainly can be. I mean, and you look back, Long is the only one still on the roster from the 2013 draft. 2014 draft only has a few guys left. And really, it's unclear if any of those guys are here for the long term. Talking about Charles Leno, Kadeem Carey, Pat O'Donnell. It just shows you what years of bad drafting can do to a franchise. But Ryan Pace is trying to rebuild it. That's why the number three pick is so crucial. By the end of this week, maybe early next week, I'll have a closer look at Jamal Adams, Marshawn Lattimore, and Malik Hooker. Try to see what I can glean from watching the three of them. Make sure, by the way, if you go to ProFootballWeekly.com, get our draft guide, which has over 300 scouting reports from Greg Gabriel, and then get the Draft Update magazine, which has a few updated reports, updated rankings with the combine stats. And there's always good stuff from Greg. We got mock drafts each week. Arthur Arkus just put up his latest mock draft, had Solomon Thomas going to the Bears. I'll have a Bears-centric mock draft at some point before the draft, so stay tuned for that. Dan is producing a ton of great draft scouting report videos. You can see those on our YouTube channel as well as at ProFootballWeekly.com. So we got a lot of fun draft content. Again, 3 weeks away. In terms of other stuff going on, the schedule should be out in 2 weeks, I imagine. So we'll find out when the Bears play the opponents we already know that they're playing. Dan, selfishly, I'm paying very close attention to that schedule because I am invited to two weddings in the fall. Don't have fall weddings.
Yeah.
But I understand it's a popular time of year to get married. I just want to see how early I'm going to have to fly somewhere on Sunday. I shouldn't complain about this. I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to do that.
Sure.
But I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, shout out to my wife because her and I got married at the end of July. So July 31st. But we always want to go away for like a vacation for our anniversary, but it always falls on when the Bears start their training camp. So we always have to do it a week before because we're out in Bourbonnais. So
yeah, June, early to mid-July, great times to get married. I'm free. All those of you listening who want to invite me to your wedding, that's when I'm free. so keep that in mind. So Bears schedule will come out in a couple weeks. Of course, the draft 3 weeks away. Talked to Pernell McPhee this week. He said he is sexier because he lost 25 pounds. You can check out that story at ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears. That'll do it for this week's show. Big thank you to our sponsor, Loot Crate. Remember, LootCrate.com/Shaw. Use that promo code Shaw to get $3 off your first crate. Thank you to my executive producer, Dan Mott. Shout out John Solly, who big timed us this week. Our associate producer claimed he was too busy to join the show. John, I know you're listening. Hopefully you'll come down from the mountaintop and join the show in the next couple of weeks. And of course, Robert Mays of The Ringer for being our guest and helping preview what the Bears should do with the number three pick in the NFL draft. We got lots on our website, lots more to come as we preview the draft and the Chicago Bears. Stay tuned. More Bears talk next week.